yesterday's attacks on another.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
U.S. troops are on their way out of Syria. In Afghanistan, a reduction in the size of their presence and perhaps even a permanent exit is on the way as peace talks with the Taliban go on. On February 2nd, U.S. President Donald Trump turned his attention to a third point of conflict in the region, Iraq. This time, however, Trump argued in an interview with CBS Face the Nation that U.S. troops should remain in Iraq, not just to continue to fight Daesh terrorists, as he claimed, but to watch Iran.
Well, we spent a fortune on building this incredible base. We might as well keep it. And one of the reasons I want to keep it is because I want to be looking a little bit at Iran, because Iran is a real problem.
Whoa, that's news. You're keeping troops in Iraq because you want to be able to strike in Iran?
No, because I want to be able to watch Iran. All I want to do is be able to watch.
This was not the first time Trump mentioned this alternative motive. He had brought it up before at the Ain al-Assad base in Iraq during a Christmas visit.
While maintaining the U.S. presence in Iraq to prevent an ISIS resurgence and to protect U.S. interests, and also to always watch very closely over any potential reformation of ISIS, and also to watch over Iran.
Trump's remarks have fanned the flames of a push in Iraq to expel U.S. forces. Several opposing parties are now increasing efforts to move Parliament to a vote on ending the U.S. presence when lawmakers reconvene in March. In fact, Iraqi officials don't want their country to be used as a springboard to attack its neighbors, as they are striving to re-establish the country's sovereignty.
لذلك عندما يذكر بأن مهمة هذه القوات لمحاربة دولة مجاورة كإيران مثلا نحن نرفض هذا المفهوم. أصلاً الدستور يمنع علينا أن نسير بهذه التوجهات. لا نقبل أن يكون العراق أرض معركة من أي طرف ضد أي طرف آخر.
Even Grand Ayatollah al-Sayyid Ali al-Sistani, whose words carry immense weight in Iraq, has emphasized that Iraq rejects being a station for harming any other country. To conduct damage control, acting U.S. Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan told reporters during a recent visit to Baghdad,
and maybe just to kind of characterize the things that we spoke about, you know, first and foremost, the recognition of Iraqi sovereignty. I made very clear that we recognize their sovereignty, their focus on independence, and that we're there at the invitation of the government.
Since he came to the Oval Office, Trump has been blowing hot and cold about U.S. presence in the Middle East. Even in his State of the Union address before Congress on February 6, he displayed a mix of positions regarding his approach toward the region and Iraq in particular.
Our brave troops have now been fighting in the Middle East for almost 19 years. In Afghanistan and Iraq, nearly 7,000 American heroes have given their lives. More than 52,000 Americans have been badly wounded. We have spent more than $7 trillion in fighting wars in the Middle East. As a candidate for president, I loudly pledged a new approach. Great nations do not fight endless war.
The fact is, a large part of Trump's strategy is to keep his political base happy in the hope that it will continue to stick with him through the 2020 elections. This means he has to fulfill, or show that he is fulfilling, his campaign promises from 2016, one of them to pull out of Iraq.
I was against the war in Iraq.
That promise was to attract white working class Americans from rural areas and the industrial heartland who came to see the Iraq War of 2003 as a mistake in which the U.S. has been spending so much blood and treasure. Another promise was to step up pressure on Iran to please Republican hawks who were opposed to former President Barack Obama for signing the Iran nuclear deal.
People know my views on the Iran deal. It was a terrible deal. It should have never, ever been made. We could have made a good deal or a reasonable deal. The Iran deal is a terrible deal. So
with Daesh nearly defeated, Trump says that he wants to pull his troops out of Iraq, but at the same time, he wants to keep them there for yet another purpose that has nothing to do with Iraq itself, to watch and pressure Iran. Many observers have interpreted the new Iraq strategy as a way for Trump and his foreign policy team to either try to foment the so-called regime change in or take military action against Iran. In fact, Trump's Iraq strategy reflects an unhealthy obsession with Iran and portray Iraq as little more than a pawn in the United States-Iran policy. Political analysts believe that such an approach is poison for Washington's ties with Baghdad, whose security and stability is vital to U.S. national security interests as well. Iraq is a critical component to any kind of stability in the Persian Gulf and to the secure flow of petroleum to the global economy, to say the least. The country sits at the critical point of several important relationships between the United States and Iran, between Iran and the Arab world, and among the Arab countries. Even Saudi Arabia has recently adopted a pragmatic approach to Iraq by re-establishing diplomatic ties, reopening border crossings, and taking the initiative for future economic and security cooperation. While the Trump administration has made limiting Iran a centerpiece of its foreign policy, Iraq has made clear that it will maintain its strong security, economic and political ties with Iran.
تناولنا الإجراءات الاقتصادية لأحادية الجانب الأمريكية والعمل على مع جارة إيران فيها.
Iraq needs the help it gets from Tehran, which has made major investments in its industrial and tourism infrastructures and is Baghdad's most important trade partner for food and natural gas. Tehran also played a crucial role in the war against Daesh and provides technical assistance to the Iraqi Interior Ministry and parts of the intelligence apparatus. So it's quite natural that Iraqi elites are loath to alienate Iran. Right now, as Iraq struggles with major energy shortages, the Trump administration is urging it to stop buying energy from Iran. Critics say that putting pressure on Iraqi partners and turning the country into a battleground for the U.S.-Iranian rivalry stem from the lack of discretion and judgment in the Trump administration, which continues to view Iraq as secondary to its main regional objectives.
I want to say American personnel, military personnel who are operating in Iraq are operating based on an agreement between the government of Iraq and the United States. They're here for the specific mission of combating terrorism, Daesh, ISIS, and they have no other definition or defined mission beyond helping Iraqi forces in the fight against terrorism.
Washington needs to respect Iraqi sovereignty and stop treating Iraq as some form of client state. If the U.S. does not reframe its approach towards Iraq, no doubt it will further undermine the remaining influence it has in the country.